I do not have a slideshow for you, and I would love to be looking at your faces. We are continuing our reflection on justice, which Nathan did such a beautiful job of sharing about 2 weeks ago. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to that reflection, I would highly recommend it. It would also be just an easy reflection to share with your teams. Nathan mentioned being recently at a caregiver orientation, and a new caregiver was sharing feedback about how they wondered how justice could play out in healthcare. And Nathan asked us to continue to think about how we promote justice in what we do. So I want to share one of my favorite stories with you. It comes from the Kitchen Table Wisdom by Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen, and the passage is entitled The Meeting Place. The passage is important to me because it highlights for me all of our core values, but justice specifically, because of the call to foster a culture that promotes unity and reconciliation. So she writes, "The places where we are genuinely met and heard have great importance to us. Being in them may remind us of our strength and our value in ways that many other places we may pass through do not. My medical partner, who had never been ill a day in his life, died suddenly of a massive heart attack at 56. He was a consummate healer and magnificent friend, and he left both of his colleagues and his patients bereft. For weeks, we numbly went through papers and made referrals for the many people who called in, many of them weeping. Finally, the last details were attended to, and we settled down to a future without Hal. Then the patients started coming. For almost a year afterwards, several times a week, I would open the door of my office and find one of Hal's patients sitting in the common waiting room. At first, I would worry that they didn't know about Hal and I would have to tell them, but they all knew. They had just come to the place where they had experienced his listening, his special way of seeing and valuing them, just to sit there for a bit. In this place, perhaps to think about difficult decisions which currently faced them. Many patients came. It was terribly, terribly moving. Another colleague, who is the head of the Department of Family Medicine at one of the East Coast outstanding medical schools, tells a story about one of his patients. The patient was a homeless woman whose possessions fit into two shopping carts. Once a month, she would bring these up the steep hill to the clinic by lashing them alternatively to the parking meters with a belt. First, she would tie one, then wheel the other to the next meter uphill, tie it, go back for the first one, untie it, and wheel it to the meter above the second until both she and the two carts were at the clinic's front door. He saw her once a month on a Wednesday. Her speech was sometimes rambling, and her clothing was often dirty and eccentric. This deeply kind and respectful man was not troubled by this. With his usual grave courtesy, he welcomed her into his consulting room, listened to the details of her difficult life, and did what he could to ease her burden. After he had been seeing her for some time, he became aware that she sometimes came to the hospital on days when he was not there. The clinic nurses were puzzled by this at first, as she seemed to know in some mysterious way that it was not her day to see the doctor. After talking with her, they determined that she simply wanted to go into his consulting room. Once there, she did not go in, but would stand on the threshold and slowly and deliberately place her right foot inside of the empty room and then withdraw it again and again. After a while, she would be satisfied and then go away. The places in which we are heard are holy places. They remind us of our value as human beings. They give us the strength to go on. Eventually, they may even help us to transform our pain into wisdom. There is so much that sticks out to me from this passage. The idea of a space being holy, but that it isn't the space itself. It's how one is treated in that space. The idea that we are willing to go to places far out of the way to be heard and seen. The idea that justice can look like welcoming, listening, easing burdens, and being valued. As you think about justice, as it relates to our ongoing work, there is a passage that I love from Cole Arthur Riley where she states, "How boring to spend the whole of my vocational energy trying to figure out if I am doing the right work. It is of much greater interest to me to talk about how I'm going to do the work with integrity, how I'm going to protect dignity as I work, and what truths are calling out to me as I work." In the meeting before that I was in, so Phyllis had no idea that I would share her story, so I apologize, Phyllis, if you're on the call. Someone called into VNA this morning, 14 years after their mom had been cared for here, just to check in with Phyllis and ask for her by name, along with another OT and PT. I think about how we create a sense of trust and community and connection for these beloved caregivers, for these beloved families that are so grateful for a chance to be known and seen. It's a beautiful example of living out our values, especially around justice and dignity. So as we go about our days, I leave you with these questions, as Nathan did. How are we infusing justice into our conversations? How are we following our value of justice to care wisely for our people, both those we serve and those who we serve alongside? How are we standing in solidarity with the most vulnerable and going beyond to remove the causes of oppression and promoting justice for all? So thank you.